Today's program has been brought to you by S. Wallace Edwards & Sons, third-generation cure masters producing the country's best dry-cured and aged hams, bacon, and sausage. For more information, visit SurreyFarms.com.
I'm Mike Colomeco from Food Talk. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit HeritageRadioNetwork.org for thousands more.
Welcome to the Food Scene on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. I'm your host, Michael Harlan Turkel, here today with Gunnar Carl, who is going to pronounce his last name for us.
It's Gislason.
You know, I thought I was going to have a chance because I was such a fan of, you know, late 80s, early 90s World's Strongest Men.
Oh, yeah?
So John Paul Sigmundsson.
Exactly.
You know, Magnus Ver Magnusson.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm like, I have those, you know, Icelandic names down. I think I can do yours, and could not.
Which always surprised me because I find it so easy to pronounce.
Yeah. What's your name?
Gunnar Karl Gislason.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to listen to this episode over and over and get that
until you get
just
it.
Right.
Yeah.
Those world's strongest men, they're Vikings. They're very large, broad-shouldered, big-armed men.
Yeah.
As are you.
I wouldn't go so far. But it must be the country,
yeah.
All the skyr that we are eating and etc. It's like they have so much proteins, they just go big.
Yeah,
right.
Well, I mean, Iceland was founded or has a community of Vikings going back as far as what, the 9th century.
Yeah. So, So that must be the thing.
Yeah.
About those guys, and we still have a lot of, I mean. Jón Páll and Magnus, those are some old legends, but we still have some young ones coming up. Huge guys.
Yeah. Well, you said protein, and obviously you need that to grow into a world's strongest man. And you also mentioned skyr, S-K-Y-R.
Excellent.
Which is an amazing yogurt.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Kind of equivalent, at least texturally, to Greek yogurt or strain yogurt as we see here, but... It's made in a completely different way.
Yeah, you could go so far to say that skyr was somewhere between a cheese and a yogurt actually, because it's made with live bacteria, or like the traditional way is to make it with live bacteria. So it's skimmed milk, and back in the days they would actually just take the skimmed milk and take it outside. Get all the bacteria from the air to set into the milk. And that was it. And then you have, if you wait a little bit, you will have the skyr. I'm sure, like back in the days, they didn't have that smooth texture as we have today. We have added something and made the process a little bit better. But it's they're still making it pretty much. The same thing with the live bacteria and etc.
I mean, you also mentioned open air, and that's such an important thing in Iceland itself. Aside from being, you know, refreshing and rejuvenating, a lot of food uses open air. Kind of, what is that called? The harðfiskur.
Yeah, harðfiskur. So that's one of the other ingredients that I use a lot at the restaurant. So the restaurant was. We opened up the restaurant like 5.5 years ago, and I had like this big plans of making a Nordic restaurant. I wanted to like get ingredients from all the Nordic countries and try to use like a lot of Nordic ingredients. Then something happened. The crisis came. And it came pretty hard, actually.
The crisis being the banking collapse in 2009.
Like it was a big collapse, and everything pretty much went to hell. So I had just left my job, and I was waiting for, like, you know, everything to get together with the restaurant, and we had some investors and etc. And the day after the bank collapse, I was supposed to meet with the investors, but they all jumped off. So I was pretty much there alone with my co-owner at the time, Olavur. And we were just looking at each other and thinking, just like, oh my God, should we go back to our old job and ask for our jobs back? But I mean, we decided that this would be something that we would, like, regret if we wouldn't do it. So we did. But we had to, like, go really hard to plan B or C even. Opening it up for as little money as we could and like, using our Visa cards until they will be glowing. But we managed to open up. But what happened as well is that everything that you were importing got extremely expensive. So, like, importing, let's say, scallops from Norway was not really a good idea. And I mean, I can see it now. It maybe from day one, it was a stupid idea. But so what we did was we started focusing on Icelandic ingredients because we could get them for a reasonable price. So we started using them more and more. But then, after a couple of months, I had to start seeking for some more and some new ingredients. And when I say new ingredients, it actually happened to be the old ingredients, because I found things like harðfiskur, and I started thinking, okay, it's a fantastic, how they make it is a fantastic thing. So I really want to use this, but as well, it was really hard to use it because, I mean, it's quite unique, and it was really hard to find a way how I could take that ingredient, pretty much made them exactly the same way as the Vikings did back in the days, and how I could get that into, you know, fine dining restaurant, and to make it modern and etc.
Well, I mean, is Reykjavik, where Dill restaurant is located, is it a modern city?
Yeah, I would go so far to say it's really modern, and people there are very busy making it modern.
Yeah.
Now. No, but so. I found a way to use it, and I absolutely love it. In Iceland, in general, usually people just eat the fish with butter, but we have found some good ways. So the traditional way to make that dried fish is to they will just take, you know, it can pretty much be whatever fish you have, I guess. Mostly they make it with haddock and catfish. And I pretty much only use catfish, actually. I just prefer the flavor of that fish. And they lightly salt it, and then they hang it out to dry. And they will have to find a space, like, close to the sea, and as windy as possible. They can only do it during the winter time. So the temperature has to be minus something, like below zero. And it takes 1 to 2 months. And it's absolutely delicious.
You know, you think of seasonal ingredients, and you don't always think of a process as a seasonal thing as well. But to only be able to do it with that salt air, you know, during a specific time of the year.
Exactly.
I mean, you only have that available to you for that short period of time, too. But I guess it's a preservation method.
It's a preservation method. So, like, after they dry it, I mean, I can store it for a long time.
Well, you know, you're here because of the wonderful release of North, your first cookbook with the lovely Jodi Eddy.
Yeah, exactly.
Photographed by Evan Sung. You know, it's about new Nordic cuisine in Iceland. And you mentioned that old is new again. And what's wonderful about the book is, as much as it is about your food, it's about your purveyors. It's about the people that, during the financial crisis, you trying to open up a restaurant said, we'll help you, you know, and we'll give you what you need, and we'll highly discount, if not, you know, for free to be able to allow this culinary culture to evolve in Iceland. So yeah. I kind of want to like talk about all those specific ingredients and the people behind them, because, you know, you are their champion.
Well, I just I had this dream of making a cookbook for a long time, and but I never actually knew like what kind of book it should be, because I, the only thing I was very sure about that I didn't want to like do a recipe book. I wanted to do something more than that, and after I started after I started my relationship, so to speak, with all those good people, I found out as well that that they were like kind of, I mean, I wouldn't go so far to say that the last of their kind, but it's like I found out that some of those methods were dying out slowly, and so I really just wanted to do something to embrace those traditions. And try to do something good as well for those good people that helped me when I was opening up the restaurant.
I mean, you could talk about the delicious aspect of bacalao, salt cod, the salted cod, tartare with dill mayonnaise and dulse powder,
yeah.
Poached cod cheeks with roasted corn cod soup, potatoes and charred onions, or you could talk about Elvar.
Yeah. I mean, Elvar is definitely one of them, and he has helped me a lot through the years. So he is one of few left that is still making the salted cod like the traditional way. I mean, you go to a lot of restaurants today and you will get something called bacalao, and it's something that they got like fresh cod in yesterday, and they are serving it as a bacalao the day after. The one that I am using from Elvar, it takes almost a year to make. So he will salt it for around 9 months. So you can see like when it actually comes to the restaurant, it's probably about 1 year old. So it's obviously a longer way and more expensive and etc. But it's the right way and it's the good way. And there is nothing you can't compare the flavors of a cod that you have salted for a day. Or the one that you've sold it for 9 months. It's just not the same.
And with this long-term preservation method, I still love that you can serve it so fresh as a tartare.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, it definitely takes a whole lot of flavors to the fish that it have been salted and stored for 9 months. So it's like, And the salt obviously take the water out of the fish. The flavors will come really like what do you call it? Like
pronounced up front. Like
yeah. It's like compact.
Yeah,
it's really really nice.
Parsnip three ways with Arctic charro is actually the cover shot of this book.
Oh yeah.
But again, the backstory behind that is, you know, a wonderful Arctic char smoker named Gylfi.
Yeah.
But on top of that, you know, what's wonderful about all these purveyors is that you also specify where they are in Iceland. So yeah. If one person ever wanted to visit there, they could actually see these regional ingredients Iceland
definitely,
as well. So talk to me about the lake that the Arctic char smoker is on.
So Gylfi, he lives in Mývatnssveit, right next to Lake Mývatn, where he actually catches his char. But he smokes more things than char. He smokes lamb as well. So the whole thing about his smoking is that that he's not what people are probably picturing would be some birch tree or pine tree or something that would be used to smoke with, but he actually uses his lamb shit. So it's a really really old tradition. Probably it didn't start because like the farmers were loving their shit so much, but probably because they didn't have anything else to burn. So the what they do is that during the winter time they will have the sheep in their houses. The sheep will take some hay and eat it, and some of it will definitely go on the floor. They will shit on it, they will pee on it, and they will walk on it. Press it the whole winter. So in the end of the winter, when it starts getting a little bit warmer outside, the farmers will let the sheep go out, and they will actually go up to the mountains and live there pretty much freely and wild the whole summer. The farmer can then go and cut his shit into layers, take it outside and dry it for several months. And then they have to carefully choose the right shit. So it has, because it's, if it's too dry, it will go up in flames. It won't do you any good. If it's too wet, it won't burn, obviously. So they find the one that has the right amount of humidity. Put that on fire and use that to smoke with. And they smoke it in like those old houses usually, which are made with really, really thick walls, usually made with like lava stones and mud. And those houses are made so with those really, really big walls or thick walls, so to like keep the temperature similar in the houses. And they usually dig it down quite a lot. And they use this, this shit to smoke with. And as I said before, it's like probably not because they really wanted to do this, but probably because there were no trees in Iceland, so to speak, or at least not many.
You told me you weren't going to curse because your mother was going to be listening.
Yeah, she's going to be furious.
Yeah, we're actually going to take a quick break and talk about more shit from Iceland when we return. You will listen to The Food Scene on heritageradionetwork.org.
The following program was brought to you by S. Wallace Edwards & Sons. Edwards Suriano hams are aged to perfection for no less than 400 days and hickory smoked to achieve a deep mahogany color. The Edwards name is well known for its world-class aged and cured meats. Their exclusive curing and aging recipe produces a unique flavor profile that enhances the quality characteristics of Berkshire pork. Optimum amounts of pure white fat marbling contribute to a flavor that's a delicate, perfect balance between sweet and salty. For more information, visit edwardsvaham.com.
Hey, and welcome back to The Food Scene on heritageradionetwork.org. I'm your host, Michael Harlan Turkell, here today with Gunnar Carl. I will get your last name after listening to this episode over and over, but if you didn't paint a picture of what we were just talking about, all that shit,
yeah,
you will with Rugbrod. It is a dense rye bread known as geyser bread.
Yep.
But where it's actually baked is almost as fascinating as the bread itself.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm not so sure that there is something special about the recipe. I mean, you could probably have that recipe pretty much everywhere. Sorry, but it's like it's probably more the way that they bake it. So it's made close to the geysers, or at least like a really hot area where you have this hot ground, and they just dig a little hole. They take their bread, put it in some kind of like the traditional way, like most of people do it. They actually use milk cartons. Put their bread dough in there and close it, and then they just throw them down in those holes and bake it there. So the heat from the ground is enough to bake the bread.
And I love during the winter, you can sometimes find people standing on top of those ovens just to heat themselves up.
Yeah. It's, especially like this place where we visit in the, for the book, It's actually really close to Lake Mjøen as well, close to Gilvi, our smoker. And they have like this area where it's really a lot of good heat from the ground. And so it's like each family, more or less, in the village, they have their own like pots there. So they actually dig hole and make it nice, and then they have like those heavy iron lids to put on the top, so they can reuse their oven again and again and again. And with the time, it will probably go cold sometime. So then they just have to move it a little bit and make a new one. So it's usually, I believe, it's like, at least in those holes that they have there, it's usually baked for 24 hours.
See, you seemingly are a very modest person, because in this book you talk about Gundi, you know, you're bread baker. But yeah. What you don't talk about, you know, in person as much is how you modernize those things. You make rye beer chips with chive skyr, pickled herring ice cream herring ice cream with pickled shallots and rye bread crumble. So you're taking these traditions and showing a new light to them, you know, illuminating how they can be used rather than this way that has always been seen in Iceland.
Yeah. It's just something that I really wanted to do, and it wasn't really hard, so to speak. It was a little bit harder to find those people and convince them that that their products should be at a fine dining restaurant, because they didn't really think so, I guess. I had to convince them that this was something that could be on other tables than just theirs.
Yeah.
Because some of those people, they were just making it for themselves or maybe their families.
Who was the hardest to convince?
Well, I think Finnboy, who makes my dried fish, he wasn't hard to convince to sell me the fish. That was no problem. But he never pictured used the way that I'm using it. I mean, like I said, like in Iceland, it's the tradition would be to like just rip that dried fish from the skin and eat it with butter, and that's it. And pretty much nowhere you will see it done somehow else. So that was, he wasn't really believing that. And he just literally, when I said goodbye to him last time I was in the West, I think he just laughed at me. But but here I am, and I'm still using his fish, and it's like, I mean, I just used his fish at Starships yesterday,
yeah.
And Roots a couple of days before that, and etc. So it's like, it's been around.
It's making its way globally now.
Yeah.
Harkal. I mean, that is a very specific Icelandic ingredient. Tell me what it is and how you use it in the restaurant and how other people perceive it.
I don't use it at all. I find it almost disgusting. But it's definitely, I've been thinking about ways like what on earth I could do with it. Because I don't think like my generation, and definitely not like my children, are eating it.
It's literally rotten fermented shark, right?
Oh yeah, oh yeah,
oh yeah.
And it smells like nothing else. It smells like it's going out of fashion. It's which is probably did, but then again, it's like if you actually then just eat it. It doesn't taste as bad as it smells like. So for me, and a lot of people actually, especially people that are very much into really, really strong cheese, they love this. Or at least...
So I thought you were into strong cheese. I was reading this recipe that you do with larch mushrooms and the isbui cheese. And that's a pretty funky cheese.
Yeah. But it's nothing like that, believe me. This is like, this is just like ammoniac in your face.
Yeah.
But I've been wondering, because especially because after I met all those people talking about talking about that it reminds them on cheese, then I've been like trying to get like new ideas, like what I could actually use it for. And I mean, yeah, I have some good ones, and it's a lot of fun. Like when you go for trips like this, and you will meet people, because I mean, I this was just like a random guy pretty much that I met at this Root conference in Ohio, and he was talking about this, and I go, okay, I have some new things that I have to try when I come home. And I mean, you go travel a little bit and you come with your head full of ideas.
Yeah, you became a collector.
Oh yeah.
And speaking of collecting,
the first thing I'm doing when I'm coming home is to make fissos. It's like,
yeah,
I've been thinking about fissos a lot now.
Well, you got plenty of Harkerl to throw into that fissos.
Yeah, I was more thinking dried fish.
So keep it out of my restaurant, out of my house. But speaking of collecting ideas, another kind of collector, which you know I wouldn't think of as a culinary person, is your seabird collector, seabird egg collector on Grimsey Island. You know, yep. Growing up in the States, I don't know, it seemed like it was a common thing that there was always like save the puffin campaigns.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, you know, as gorgeous a bird as they are, I mean, their eggs are even over the top.
Oh, yeah. They are really good. They are really good. We actually don't collect them anymore because they are kind of protected more or less. So we don't take their eggs, and we definitely don't take the birds. but we go for other seabird eggs. And this dear, dear friend of mine, Siki Hennings, lives in Grímsey, which is the northest part of Iceland. It's a very remote island, very much north of Iceland. It's, I think it's like 75 people living there. And it's absolutely gorgeous. It's one of my favorite places on Earth, I guess. And everybody there just being so friendly and helpful and ready to do pretty much everything for you. And this friend of mine, Siki, he collects my the eggs that I use at the restaurant. Most of the eggs probably being from seagull. Absolutely delicious. And then, but the hardest part is that he actually has to go down the cliffs to collect them. And it's they're not doing it on any like modern way. They literally have rope which they attach to a tractor, and then they just back it from the cliff, and then they go drive again when they have to get him up.
Yeah. I mean, it's quite a treasure finding these things too, because they're these blue, royal blue, azure speckled things. How do you take that thing and make it beautiful on a dish? Make it something other than just a plain old egg.
That's actually what I do. You will literally just get cooked egg. When I have those eggs, I don't do anything with them. I just don't think it's whatever I would do wouldn't do them justice. So I serve them as snacks in the beginning of the meal, and you usually just get like a slice of that cooked egg with some nice salt on the top. Maybe we make some good herb cream or something and some herbs, but that's it. I don't really think that I would help the egg if I would be doing something else with it, because it's just that unique. It's so compact and full of flavors. So we serve it as it is.
I feel like a lot of your dishes, you're, again, being too modest, because a lot of the dishes, you change in a very caring and thoughtful way. You have a wonderful, you know, sheep farmer, and you make a smoked lamb with skyr and nutmeg. I mean, it seems extremely simple, and smoked lamb is a thing that's been happening in Iceland for years, is very common. Oh, yeah. But what makes yours a little bit different?
Well, I mean, I would probably give the whole credit to Gilvi, because he smokes it for me. And he raised the lamb. And maybe what's really interesting about that lamb is that it actually, during the wintertime, no, so during the summertime, he tried to use his time as much as he can to smoke fish. And he smokes mostly Arctic char, and he smokes them with bone and head and etc. After smoking, he will take the head off and, you know, fillet the fish and etc. All the leftovers goes into barrels, which are then kept outside until the winter time, and the lambs are actually eating those smoked fish during the winter time. And then after they come home from the mountains in the summertime, they get killed and they will be smoked with their own shit.
Yeah.
And I mean, so it's like it's this beautiful circle of things there, and it tastes like nothing else.
You can't like steal one of those smoked barrels, make fish sauce or smoke sauce out of that.
There you go.
I don't want to break the circle of life that you got going on there, but maybe just one barrel to see what's going on.
There you go.
But again,
that's a new idea.
Yeah. But again, you know, what you do is obviously exalt these ingredients of Iceland to a different level, telling the story of the purveyor, but also telling the story of what you've gone through as a chef. You've seen fine dining. You've seen, you know, the Nordic community, you know, have many great ingredients and do many great things to it, but less is more if you find the right pathways for it.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think so. I really try at the restaurant just to use those good ingredients that I can get, and I don't want to, what do you call it? I don't want to
manipulate.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to manipulate them too much. I want them to be as they are, and I want the guests to actually experience the flavors of those ingredients instead of experimenting or to get the experiment of what I am doing as a chef or with techniques or this or that. So I just want them to be pretty much as they are. I mean, of course, we do a lot of things and we do this and that, but it's those main ingredients. I really want them to be as they are.
I mean, I love that you use butter as a simple carrier for your dulse harvester. So just a simple seaweed butter, you know, is shows such respect, you know, to that ingredient. But even more so, you have a person that collects salt for you.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we have two salt companies now in Iceland making like really high quality salt. I use salt from the both of them. We have a chapter about Saltverk in our book. It was the first salt company in Iceland for years. A couple of guys living in Denmark that actually found out that that back in the days there was a salt company in Iceland making salt for the Danish king actually. So they started looking better into it, like how they were making it and what they were doing. And they ended up opening up their own salt company. And it's so, when you think about it, it's kind of strange that we haven't always been like a big producer of salt, because they simply pump seawater up from the sea and dehydrate it over the heat of the ground. I mean, it's maybe not as simple as I said.
Yeah.
But it's pretty much that.
I mean,
we make our own salt at the restaurant. I mean, I go and collect seawater at a special secret place that I have, and we make our own salt that we serve with our bread.
Well, I feel like it's such, you know, perfect grounds for, you have all those geothermal outdoor pools.
Oh, yeah.
So you can just have people, you know, take a dip and bring salt back to the restaurant, too.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm just glad to know that Iceland isn't all just reindeer.
No, there are not even so many of them.
Yeah.
But I believe we have more sheep than we have people. So there you go.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure if someone visits Iceland, they can find you amongst the sheep.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Stop by Dill Restaurant and see everything that's happening, you know, in Reykjavik and the new Nordic community as a whole. This book, North, is wonderful. Go out and get it today.
Yeah.
I'm just over the moon that you're here with us today. So thank you again, Gunnar.
The pleasure was all mine.
Excellent. You've been listening to The Food Scene on heritageradionetwork.org. I'm your host, Michael Harland Derkel. Hoping to have you back here next Tuesday at 3. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.